Part 4. At Last, the Me I Was Meant to Be. Chapter 14. How Long Does It Take to Heal? For those recently diagnosed, what I have to say next might discourage you, although I don't mean it to. Healing from ADHD is an exciting growth experience. We have the chance to become the best we can be. But no matter what, healing takes time. Dr. Orin Mason says, a lifelong transformation begins with diagnosis and proper medication. As mentioned before, medication never does the entire job of ADHD healing. Medication helps us improve our lives, but it will never make us non-ADHD. It took me 5 years to heal emotionally. Still, as Dr. Mason explains, there is no end to the learning potential that blossoms with treatment, both in executive functions and emotional self-management. The first year after my diagnosis, I was depressed. I spent the following years conquering my depression by improving my life. I believe I am now healed from my ADHD, even though I still have it. We are healed when we are content with who we are, despite having ADHD. Immediately after my diagnosis, I withdrew from people around me. No one could understand how I felt, believing I was the only adult with ADHD in America. Then I found a book, Attention Deficit Disorder in Adults, by Lynn Weiss, PhD. In the book's resource section, she listed Lisa Post, a woman with ADHD in Bellingham, Washington. I called Lisa, and we talked and talked. Lisa remembers how upset and shell-shocked I was to be diagnosed with inattentive ADHD. It was life-saving for me to connect with someone who shared my experiences. I could talk to Lisa about my triumphs and my setbacks. No matter how much progress we make, there are always setbacks. Last week, my ADHD surfaced with a vengeance, and many behaviors that I thought were under control returned. What was going on? Why was I back in a disorganized office? Why did I lose items that were in my hand only moments before? Where was the list I made? Why did I forget the items I wanted to purchase and spend an hour wandering around Home Depot hoping to spy what I needed to buy? Why did I waste an hour browsing when I had many pressing chores? I was overwhelmed, attempting to do too much. I still struggle to keep my focus only on the things I value. Too often, people with ADHD are scattered. We find too many things appealing. Too many ideas pull us in many directions. As a result, we do not spend our time on what we truly care about. ADHD is like being in a television store with 50 TVs, each tuned to a different channel. You are expected to watch just one of those televisions, but that is impossible. Medication reduces the number of TVs, but learning to focus only on a few TVs is also essential. Knowing my priorities and focusing on them is necessary to maintain balance. New, exciting ideas always occur to me, but I evaluate them. Is this a priority? Does it contribute to my mission in life? What enabled me to develop a focus for my life was writing my mission statement, as recommended in The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People by Stephen Covey. What did I value? Who do I admire and for what reasons? What did I want to achieve? How did I want to achieve it? It took several months to ponder these questions. Learning my priorities was a lengthy process. I kept putting off writing my mission statement. Finally, I wrote my mission statement when we flew to Boston. Sometimes we can only get ourselves to do something by ensuring there are no other alternatives. As an aside, I recently heard about a person with ADHD who flew to Japan and back so that he could write the draft for his book. But the most creative idea I heard for staying in place until the job got done was a man who installed a seatbelt on his office chair. Once I started, my mission statement was easy to write. It surprised me how simple my mission was: to value my family, to focus on wanting close relations with my children when they became adults, and to help adults with ADHD. Going through the thought process and writing the statement clarified what was meaningful to me and allowed me to say no to activities that were not part of my mission. Besides a place for everything and everything in its place, another slogan became my maxim. You can do anything you want, but not everything. Together, these slogans keep me focused. I know my priorities. I know what is important to me. I accept that I don't have the time or energy for everything and have to pick where I put my effort if I want to be successful. My life is fulfilling when I accomplish things and when I complete what I start in a way that makes me proud. This kind of focus earlier in my life would have helped me have fewer injuries as a child and as an adult. I never thought ADHD contributed to my injuries, but research shows that adults with ADHD are accident-prone because of their inattention, hyperactivity, or impulsivity. I have injured almost every body part at least once. One early injury to my left knee eventually led to getting a total knee replacement when I was 50 years old. During one of my college spring breaks, my mother encouraged me to go skiing by myself and even loaned me her car. I went to Mount Snow in southern Vermont, where I met two people to ski with, Jay and Bill. They were better skiers, and I foolishly tried to keep up. When they skied over a jump, I followed and fell when I landed. I injured my left knee and could not safely drive home. Bill drove me home in my car while Jay followed in his. Dr. Wheeler, our family doctor, diagnosed a torn anterior cruciate and put a plaster cast on my leg. I returned to college with crutches and limited mobility, plodding up and down stairs to classrooms and back to the dorm. If I tried to go faster, it only caused problems. A student in my dorm wore steel braces on her legs. She used crutches and walked slowly wherever she went. When I observed her, I thought how hard it must be to walk slowly all the time. How does she have the patience for it? I did not have patience. I had my cast on for 6 weeks. With 2 weeks left, I could tolerate it no longer. I stepped into the shower and turned on the hot water, hoping to dissolve the cast. I was unsuccessful. I could not get the cast off, and it was not worth keeping on. I went home, and Dr. Wheeler sawed it off. He had known me for years and did not express surprise at my impatience. I overcame or minimized many of my troubling behaviors with coping or compensating techniques. But other behaviors continue to trouble me no matter what I do or how hard I try. Now, my ADHD behaviors usually bring humor and laughter. Sometimes I ask myself, how could I be so dumb when I'm not even blonde? Sorry, I could not resist. I kept these dumb behaviors hidden for many years. Now I roll with the ADHD punches because I have enough areas where I function well. If my ADHD rarely shows because I compensate well, why did it reappear with a vengeance last week? I was stressed. I had 3 significant deadlines, and my brain could not handle them. Dr. Halliwell says, about the worst thing someone says to an ADHD child or adult is, try harder. Trying harder turns off our frontal lobes. I can practically feel my brain become scattered when I have too much to cope with. Perhaps we can manage only a certain number of balls in the air at one time. When our juggling becomes too complicated, the balls come crashing down. This happened to me recently. After working for hours to perfect the materials for an innovative project, ADHD Skill Building Telecourses, I screwed up the whole thing by sending emails to the wrong people with the incorrect dates and times. I wanted to shout in frustration and rage. I hate having ADHD. I am not a detail person. Why do I keep ignoring this knowledge and not carefully proofreading something before I send it? Why don't I ask someone to review my work instead of sending it without a final review? Overcoming the impulsivity of ADHD has its challenges. Dr. Halliwell says that impulsivity can lead to creativity, but impulsivity gone wrong? I don't want to think about it. Against my better judgment, here are some examples. I used to wear contact lenses. Now I have permanent lenses after cataract surgery, But when I lived for 3 months in Wenatchee, Washington, where almost every day is sunny but windy, I wore contacts. I rubbed my eye when playing tennis, and my left contact lens fell on the court. I could not find it and immediately had the not-so-great idea, I'll put my other contact lens on the ground. It will help me figure out what the missing lens looks like, and I'll find it. You guessed it, I lost both lenses. We have a short hill, 5 feet in height and 100 feet long, that separates our yard from our neighbor's. Along this short hill is a rock garden. If I saw weeds to pull after I got home from work, I climbed into the rock garden in my best clothes, nylons, and high heels. I just could not stop myself from pulling those weeds. Our house always has an area that needs touch-up painting, but I never change into painting clothes. I always believe this time will be different. I will not get any paint on my clothes. It's such a little area to paint. A day or two later, I notice paint spots on my best but now ruined clothes. I don't take time to put down masking tape when I paint the molding that abuts the flooring. You can guess the result. My most expensive impulsive paint job was spilling a quart of paint on a loaned Oriental rug. We took the rug home to decide if we wanted to buy it. I tripped going up the stairs, and the can of cream-colored paint flew out of my hands and landed upside down on the rug. No hiding that mistake. I have never been more embarrassed, especially when the store owners came to inspect the damage. Thank goodness our insurance paid for it. Sometime after, I was browsing through the insurance company's magazine and saw an article that gave an example of why people would want homeowners insurance: spilling paint on an Oriental rug. I have reduced my inattention, distractibility, and impulsivity with the help of medication and learning from past mistakes. But no treatment has improved my faulty memory. Forgetfulness is one aspect of my ADHD I have not overcome, and it continues to create difficulties for me. I often had trouble finding my locker at the YMCA. One day, after swimming in the pool, I went to my locker, opened it, and was shocked to find it empty. I immediately thought, someone stole my gym bag, clothes, towel, and hairbrush. Who would want them? How am I going to get dry? How can I get dressed to go home? I searched the adjoining lockers but did not find my gear. However, one nearby locker had a lock on it. Recently, I started using a lock, but I didn't remember putting on a lock that day. And that lock did not look like mine. Or did it? I tried the combination, which I was pleased to remember. The locker opened, and there was my gear. Lucky day! Now I have learned to really, really, really notice my locker number. Once I made a blueberry pie for expected company. For the crust, I combined flour and shortening in the bowl, and then could not remember if I added salt. Three ingredients, and I was in over my head. Did my body remember taking the salt from the shelf and pouring it into the measuring spoon? I could not remember. Impulsively, I added a teaspoon of salt and then tasted the mixture. Was it too salty? You probably can guess the answer. One of the depressing aspects of having a poor memory is not remembering people or events from my past. When I attended my 25th high school reunion and former classmates said hello, I had no memory of them or the events they discussed. Our high school class was fewer than 250 students, and I spent many years with the same people. My sister speaks of things that happened when we were growing up, and I ask in surprise, did that happen? My treatment for ADHD did not improve my memory. I developed the nonprofit organization ADD Resources for adults with this disorder. Our office phone had two rings, one for the phone and another for the faxes. No matter how often I told myself not to answer the phone when it rang for a fax, I picked it up. If the phone rang again a few minutes later for a fax, I picked it up again. Arg! I write the simplest things down because as soon as I look away, I forget or I am not confident I remembered correctly. When I worked as a geriatric social worker at the retirement community, I joked that my brain was the three-ring notebook I carried. Without my notebook, I was clueless. Now I use notes on my iPhone for the same purpose. After 2 years as the volunteer treasurer for a local nonprofit where I made weekly bank deposits, I memorized our 12-digit bank account number after writing it down 50 times. Progress! A friend who remembers a recipe after making it once amazes me. I made pancakes each week for my family and always looked up the recipe, unsure how much milk and flour it required. Forgetfulness hits me in the face in the worst situations. Hiking in Europe, I misplaced my passport. I was sure as I am of anything, I put it in my backpack. But it was not there when I looked. We were on a 10-day hike around Mont Blanc. Worrying about where I left the passport made it difficult to enjoy the hike. 6 days into our hike, it appeared. It was wedged in the top of my backpack, and hiking worked it loose. At one conference, I experienced a major ADHD moment. I was out to lunch when I was scheduled to present. Thankfully, the conference organizer found someone to present in my place and took my absence in stride, for he too had ADHD. His motto, which I have used since, is, "If you're going to laugh about it later, you can laugh about it now." Having perspective can make some problems insignificant. If we imagine how a current crisis will appear in the future, we deal with it better in the present. Another of my memorable forgetful moments happened when we hosted Dr. Halliwell at our annual conference. For convenience, the conference crew stayed in a Seattle hotel on Saturday night instead of returning to Tacoma. After the day's sessions, we returned to the hotel to rest and relax before going to dinner. We agreed to meet in the lobby at 7 p.m. After resting for a while, I went to shower and took out my contact lenses. I forgot their container at home, but this was not a problem. I put both lenses in a glass of water. Since the lenses have the same prescription, it did not matter if they got switched. When I stepped out of the shower, I noticed an inviting glass of water on the sink and drank it. Fortunately, I brought my eyeglasses. No one at dinner asked why I wore them. Myth: ADHD affects only boys. Fact: children and adults can have ADHD regardless of gender, although boys are more likely to be diagnosed than girls. Girls typically have the inattentive type of ADHD, which is more challenging to recognize. Males and females with inattentive ADHD often are misdiagnosed with anxiety or depression.